and we're glad that you are here. And I'm excited today because we are continuing a series that we're doing in Romans chapter 8 called The Power of the Gospel. And ironically, last week was in Romans chapter 7, but we're going back into Romans 8. And last week was important, though, because I'm going to kind of build upon it. Pastor Dave spoke a little bit on the law, if you were here. And 2 weeks ago, Vince spoke on freedom in Christ. So this week, we're going to speak on something called Know Who You Are, Live Who You Are. And it's going to be in Romans 8. We're going to start in verses 5, and we're going to go to 17. So if you have a Bible, you can open it up and follow along. If you don't have a Bible, we have plenty of Bibles. We have a whole container of Bibles over in the room over here, so we'd love to give it to you. Just stop by at the welcome table afterwards and we'll get you one. Otherwise, we have the verses up here for you to follow along. Excuse me. So, Romans 8, 5 to 17, basically Paul here is going to be writing to the church in Rome. And the church in Rome at this point, it's like 57 AD, so it's like two decades after Jesus has risen from the grave. And the church in Rome has found itself to be a mix of both Jewish believers and Gentile believers. And one of the major themes in the book of Romans that Paul kind of touches upon throughout is the role of the Old Testament law in the life of the believer today. And this was especially apparent, the tension of it was especially apparent in the church in Rome, because you had these Gentile believers who didn't grow up with the Hebrew scriptures, and they were trying to be at the same church with the Jewish believers, and they wanted to know, well, what's the role of the Mosaic law in our day-to-day life? And there was that tension, and really there was an identity crisis. What does it mean to be a Christian? What is this whole stuff about grace and salvation? And so Paul addresses a lot of that in the book of Romans, and he's going to address a little bit of that identity crisis in the verses that we speak about today. So we're going to talk about know who you are, live who you are. Basically, Paul's going to remind the Christians at the church in Rome to know who they are in Christ. And I think that that message can resonate with us today, because even today in the church, we have an identity crisis. Especially even we're kind of in a post-denomination type of Christianity where there's a lot of non-denominational churches, a lot of church plants, where even here we have a lot of people coming from a bunch of different church backgrounds, right? Like some of you guys come from a Baptist background or Methodist or Catholic background. Some of you guys didn't even, grow up going to church. So it's, how do we have unity in Christ when we all kind of come from these different backgrounds? And Paul's going to touch on that. So why don't we read the verses, Romans 8, verses 5 to 17, and see what he has to say for us. It starts this way. Paul says, "Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today. Lord Jesus, I pray that your Spirit would Fill us as we seek to learn from your word, as you seek to remind us who we are as your children in Christ. And Father, I pray just for all the hearts here who maybe are struggling with their identity in you or struggling with the flesh, God, that you would speak to us and reaffirm your truth in us. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So know who you are, live who you are. This is Paul's message to us here. Paul addresses this identity issue, and he says basically that there's kind of two positional identities that we can have in this life. There's basically two categories of people that he says. He says that there are those that are in the flesh and those that are in the spirit. And he says there's no other identifying mark when it comes down to it. You're either in the flesh or you're in the spirit. Now, what does it mean to be in the flesh? Because let's be honest, it kind of sounds a little scandalous, kind of like, you know, are people that are sexual deviants in the flesh. But it kind of goes deeper than that. It's not just that. It's something deeper. What does Paul say when he says here in verse 7, he says, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So to be in the flesh is essentially to be divorced from God's life-giving presence and power in our life. To be in the flesh is to be hostile towards God, or to be indifferent to God, to believe that we can live our life and find righteousness apart from God. This is what it means to be in the flesh. And so he says, if you're in the flesh, you set your minds on things of the flesh. Basically, you go after things to fill your life, to find meaning and purpose and life. And if you remember, God gave the Israelites the law, and he basically gave them the law to show him his righteousness, to say, you know, these are the righteous characteristics of God. If you follow these commandments, you will live. But what the law did is it showed Israel that they didn't have the power to obey the law. You know, being disobedient, we felt like we could, you know, be good and we could do it on our own. But what the law shows us is that we're not good enough, that in fact we are slaves to our sin. And that's what we are in the flesh. We're slaves to the sin. But to be in the spirit is to be in life. Galatians 6:8 says, the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the spirit will from the spirit reap eternal life. Galatians 6:8. And so if we're in the flesh, we're spiritually dead, and if we're in the spirit, we're spiritually alive. The flesh basically is us being patterned after Adam, basically patterned after the fall. We're born into the fleshly nature. That's why in John 3, it says that one must be born again to enter the heaven of God. We got to be born of the spirit. You know, we're born dead spiritually in the flesh. And verse 7 says us that if I am in the flesh, it is impossible for me to please God. And so if I remain in this state of disconnect from God brought on by my sin, it doesn't matter how good I think I am. It doesn't matter all the good deeds that I do. I'm still positionally in the flesh. And when the flesh dies, my soul will be separated from God forever. Something has to happen to take me from this positional identity of in the flesh to a new identity in the spirit. And that's where we see the truth and the power of the gospel is that Jesus does that. He becomes the righteous requirement of the law. He basically transfers us from the flesh into the spirit by dying on the cross. And the Apostle Paul, he expounds on how this process happens because he makes this profound statement that as a Christian, you are no longer in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. This is your new nature. This is what is distinct about you as a Christian. This is the establishing position and the identifying mark that speaks to who you are. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The old, the flesh has passed away, but look upon this new thing that has come, life in the spirit. And I love what Paul says. He says that you are in the spirit if, in fact, the spirit dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And I love this word dwell because Jesus Christ himself actually enters into our life to take up permanent residence within us. So this word dwell, it's not a temporary thing. It's not a lease that he takes out, but he lives in the life of believers as an establishing identity. And we see that that was God's plan all along. You know, you look back in the Old Testament, you look at Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and God says, you know, I'm going to give my people a new heart. I'm going to write my law upon their hearts. I'm going to give them a new spirit. And he fulfills that in Jesus. Jesus actually becomes the fulfillment of the law in us. He becomes the fulfillment of righteousness to dwell in us. Revelation 21 says that God is going to dwell with us forever to make us his home, that we have his presence within us, and that can't be taken away depending on life circumstances. Now, this might come to a shock to some of us, but the Bible doesn't teach that we are all God's children. In fact, the Bible teaches the exact opposite, that none of us are God's children without Christ. What does he say? He says that if you have the Spirit in you, you belong to God. You are children of God. But if you do not, you do not belong to him. Now, as humans, we all have value and dignity and worth as human beings because we're created in the image and likeness of God. So regardless of our religion, our gender, or whatever it may be, we all deserve that worth and value as image bearers of God. But to be bestowed the title of a child of God, Jesus had to do something, right? Jesus paid the price to be able to bestow that title upon us. And so we are cheapening the grace of Christ, of what he accomplished on the cross, if we just say we're all God's children. And it's actually loving. Just think about what Christ has done to be able to call us a child of God, to be able to call us an heir of God's kingdom alongside Christ. So why is this so important to know? Why is it so important to know that we're established in Christ, that we have a new identity in him? Well, Paul, he goes on to explain. He says in verse 12, "So then, brothers, having been established in Christ," you know, having the Spirit of Christ take up this permanent residence in our heart, having been the one who gives us our identity, he says, "We are no longer debtors to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So what he says is, you're established in Christ, but now that you're established in Christ, you don't owe the flesh anything. The flesh isn't your master anymore. You don't have to seek after the flesh anymore. You don't have to go and to fill your life, to fill some void. I mean, how often do we go out into the world and we chase things to give us identity? We chase a relationship to give us, you know, this meaning in our life. We chase success at work. We chase being liked at home. Whatever it may be, we chase after the flesh. We set our mind on things of the flesh, even though Christ says, "You are established in me. You are in the Spirit, not in the flesh." And it's really interesting because I have this little jug of water, and life in the Spirit is a very interesting thing because as a Christian, yes, we're in the Spirit, but we're also still in the flesh in the sense we're still here. Now, you're probably wondering why do I have this. This is kind of represents the Christian life. And you have this jug of water, and the water represents life in the Spirit. It represents God and everything that we are in Christ. And above the line of water represents the flesh. It represents, you know, who we are in the flesh, the world, whatever it may be. And this is us. This is us. And we're kind of balancing between two natures here. There's this fight within us. And a lot of times as Christians, we just fill ourselves with air. We fill ourselves with things of the flesh. And essentially it's empty. It's nothing. But Christ says that we need that the Spirit of God is within us. And so as we fill ourselves with the life-giving presence of God, as we fill ourselves with his Spirit, what actually ends up happening is we start to sink and immerse ourselves completely into this new nature, this nature of Christ, this nature of the Spirit. And so not only is the Spirit in us, but as the Spirit goes in us, the Spirit surrounds us. We're immersed in the Spirit. And it's a powerful thing because as Christians, so many times we're in the Spirit, but we don't want to fill ourselves with it. We don't want to set our minds on the thing of the Spirit. We want to set our minds on the things of the flesh. And when we do that, we kind of just bounce around, kind of caught between these two natures. But Paul says that if the Spirit dwells in you, you are in the Spirit. And so there's kind of two things that are happening here. We're established in Christ by nothing that we've done. Christ gives it to us by grace through faith. I mean, he accomplishes this new identity in him on the cross. But then Paul says that, he says, you have to live according to the Spirit. And so we can't be passive with our identity. We have our identity in Christ. We need to know who we are, but then we need to live who we are. And what does he say? He says, do it by the Spirit. Do it by the Spirit. And so it's not even in our own power that we're living it out. It's a conscious, willful effort, but we have to do it in the Spirit. It's only by the power of the Spirit that we're able to do it. When we misplace our identity in the flesh, we're driven by fear. That's what he says. He says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. And so many times we forget who we are in Christ, and it brings almost like a fear in us that I need to chase after the flesh in order to find identity. I need the success at work. I need this promotion. I need the love of someone to make me whole again. But Paul is trying to remind us that we didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters. And if we know who we are in Christ established, we can have confidence and assurance of who we are. We can be satisfied in him. Benjamin Watson is an NFL tight end. You may know him. And he was drafted by the Patriots in 2004. He currently plays for the Baltimore Ravens, I think. And, he's a guy that he knows what it means to struggle with his identity. He's also a Christian. And, we live in this fantasy football culture where these players have so much pressure to perform or else someone's going to just blast them on Twitter for having a bad game. Right? And in this fantasy football culture, I just had my draft last week, actually, and there's these players, I can only imagine, they put so much of their identity in performance on the field, because they know if they don't perform, they could get cut. They may never have another chance whatsoever. And Benjamin Watson said this when he was sidelined with an ACL tear in 2004. He said that his faith helped him know who his identity is in Christ instead of a job title. He says, what I do is play football, but what I do doesn't change who I am and who God sees me as. We are God's children. We are Christians first, and then what we do flows from that. Make sure you know your identity is in Christ so that when you get laid off from your job or when you get a raise from your job or when things don't go right, you're not up and down. Because if your identity is not grounded in Christ, you're going to be all over the place. You're going to be like a leaf blown by the wind. God tells us, he's reminding us, know who you are. You are not in the flesh. As a Christian, you are in the Spirit. This is who you are. And verse 13, by the Spirit, we are to put to death the deeds of the body, and then we will find life. Romans 6, a few chapters before this, says this. It says, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. That's kind of what Paul's saying in Romans 8, that we didn't receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. He lives in the Spirit. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. He says to consider yourselves dead to sin. He says, consider yourself to be alive to Jesus because you are alive to Jesus. And that verse, consider, it means to kind of think upon, to ponder, to meditate on, to internally calculate what it means to be alive in Christ. And I think as Christians, we often need to remind ourselves of our identity because daily it seems we forget who we are. And there's that temptation to chase after the flesh. But consider who you are in Christ and cut out the dead things that are weighing you down. Pastor Paul Tripp says this about Christian identity. Living as an effective and fruitful Christian begins with healthy identity rooted in Christ. If you understand who you are as a child of God, you'll make decisions that produce good fruit. An identity rooted in any other replacement will lead to some kind of ineffectiveness and unfruitfulness. So the question we have to ask ourselves is that if we are in Christ and we're feeling ineffective or we're feeling unfruitful, and honestly, I feel kind of unfruitful in a valley right now in my spiritual life where I feel very ineffective and unfruitful. And I think what this is challenging me is to remember who I am in Jesus, to know who I am. Because when I know who I am, I have the freedom to pursue who I am, to live out who I am in Christ, instead of having that fear that I need to fill my life with all these fleshly things. We're going to end here, and I'll call the band up, but you know, we each have our own areas of struggle. And if we're honest with ourselves, no matter how mature or how deeply rooted we think we are in Christ, we all struggle with this identity issue. You know, whether we've been a Christian for 30 years or 30 minutes, Paul is encouraging us to know who we are and then use that to help us live who we are. So I want to just ask you these three questions that we can be honest with ourselves. You know, in our lives, what difficult life circumstances could potentially be shaping your identity today? You know, what? Maybe it's a bad home life. Maybe it's pressure at work. Maybe it's, a loss that you experienced. And then on the flip side, you know, what success could potentially be shaping your identity? A lot of times people fall into success and feel, you know, I'm the captain of my soul. I'm the master of my own life. But then we need to realize those things and ask ourselves, how can we root our identity deeper in Christ? And my encouragement to you is this week, just go home, reflect on Romans chapter 8, especially these verses. Honestly, read all of Romans. It's just, it's a treasure trove of wisdom as when it comes to Christian identity. Why don't we bow in prayer? And I know that there's so many of us here that maybe are struggling with this identity issue where we've forgotten who we are in Christ, and that's evident in how we've been chasing after the flesh. What we're doing is not who we are. And who we are doesn't change every time we sin, but when we sin, it's often because we've forgotten who we are in Christ. And so, Lord God, I thank you for your word, and Lord Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice to establish a new identity, to give us the spirit of adoption. Father God, I pray for those of us here who maybe are struggling with this. Father God, I pray that you would remind us of who we are in Christ, that your spirit dwells within us, that he takes up permanent residence within us for all those who have faith in your name. Father, I pray that you would help us to put to death the deeds of the flesh and to help us to pursue and set our mind on the things of the spirit. Lord God, I also pray for maybe someone here who they don't know that they're established in the spirit, and maybe you're still in the flesh, that you've never surrendered your life to Christ. I pray that you would heed these words and you would see that the flesh is death, but to be alive is to be alive in the spirit. And I pray that you would surrender your life, put your faith in the saving act of the cross. Lord God, I know that it's so tough. We didn't even get to the most important verse probably in all of this, which was verse 17, which says that we will be alive if, in fact, we suffer alongside Christ. And oftentimes, God, the Christian walk, to walk in the Spirit, is to suffer. But I pray that you would help us keep our faith, to keep encouraged, that when suffering comes, that we would glory in you and worship you. Father God, I thank you for this word. And I pray that this week we could contemplate, we could consider the grace and mercy that you have shown towards us. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our identity. Amen.